One of the most thrilling Bible themes to think about and to read upon is that relates to the second coming of Christ and the events that will take place at His return. And Jesus at various points during His ministry referenced those future events and some of the things pertaining to them. In the book of John, in chapter 5, beginning in verse 24, Jesus begins there, He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me." Jesus speaks about judgment, he speaks about life, he speaks about things that we need to really stop and consider, to focus upon, give our thoughts and minds to, because life is short. Life is what God uses to prepare us for what lies ahead. In life, we face trials and tribulations. In life, we have to make very important choices. In life, we are presented with truth and error, and we have to distinguish between the two. In this life, God gives us His Word to serve as that lamp to our feet and that light to our path. But we have to be willing to follow where He leads us. And that can be at times very difficult in a world that for the most part rejects God's ways. They want what they like, and people will pick and choose what God's Word reveals, and they will embrace those things that appeal to them or that allow them to do what they want to do, but reject or come up with some philosophy or embrace some teaching that allows them to do otherwise. However, what Jesus says here is vital for us to remember. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. The faith that one has to have in Jesus Christ, we know from other passages, and is more than a mental acknowledgement of the facts concerning the identity of Jesus, but rather it relates to belief plus the action of doing what the Lord says. James chapter 2 very clearly teaches that a saving faith, a living faith, as opposed to a dead one, is a faith that acknowledges the commands of God and the truth that they are, but also fulfills them. As Abraham did, he said, and as Rahab did also. As we then put into practice what the Lord says, we are true believers. And those kinds of believers are the ones who will have everlasting life and not come into judgment. Those who believe on the one who has sent him, the Father, will also believe on the Son, will hear both and follow both, and they in fact are one, not divided, but one, as Jesus says in the 17th chapter of this very book. Jesus says that the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Think about the spiritual aspect of such words. There were many and there are many who are dead. And what do they need? They need to hear the words of the one who has life in his hands and who can give it and wants to give it to anyone. And when people hear and receive the truth of God's word, they have life within them. They have hope within them. You know, you can, after you've done that, believed on the truth and embraced it and have followed it, you can be ready for death. You need not fear death. Death will have no hold or power over you, because death, physical in nature, is something that all are subject to. However, the second death is one that only has power over those who do not receive the Lord, who do not believe and follow Him. The Lord said in verse 26, "For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself and has given Him authority to execute judgment also because He is the Son of Man." So here, what God has, Christ has, He's been given it by the authority of the Father, this life in Himself and the power of judgment. Now, the life that Christ came to bring is the life that through His sacrifice would be received by all who would appreciate what He did, have faith in Him, and turn to Him. But Jesus, when He speaks of this judgment, we know that the judgment in the final sense has not yet happened. He does, in essence, make a sort of a judgment in the sense that when we in this day and age choose to follow Him or forsake Him, it has already been written what is going to take place because judgment has been revealed in the Holy Scriptures. It's simply that not until the future will it actually be carried out. It'll be enacted. And thus we need to reflect upon the temporary nature of our lives. And remember the words that Jesus says in the following verses. "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth." Notice there is a separation between the two kinds that will come forth. All are going to come forth, but there are those coming forth to be blessed and there are those coming forth to be condemned. Those who have, notice, done good. The kind of resurrection you can anticipate is based upon the choices you make now. Do you have life because you're following Him, or you're walking in the ways of death because you're rejecting Him and His will? Those who've done good to the resurrection of life and those who've done evil to the resurrection of condemnation, all are going to come forth from the dead. All are going to face judgment. The truth of the matter is, you know, when we die, we know where we're going to be forever. Because where you find yourself after this life is over is a glimpse of what you're going to have for all eternity. You're not yet in heaven when you die, and you're not yet in Gehenna when you die, whether you do good or evil. But those who, like the rich man, lifted up his eyes in torment, know that they are going to face that sort of suffering forever and ever. The judgment remains. The judgment will come. And the judgment will be according to the truth that has been revealed by the Son of God, who lived His life on this earth, who gave these words to us to warn us, to prepare us, and reminds us here in verse 30, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Christ came, and His whole purpose was to accomplish that which He had been sent to do. He had been sent as a Son by His Father into the world. And what did He do? He lived His life every moment of every day as a faithful Son. He was submissive to His Father. He accomplished His Father's will. He glorified and honored His Father by the life that He lived. And all of the judgment that He rendered between the righteous and the ungodly on this earth, in a limited sense, will be one day in a very magnified way carried out when the last judgment is rendered. And all of us are going to have to face it. The question we need to ask ourselves is tonight, knowing what lies ahead, am I prepared and am I ready for that day? Because it is coming without a shadow of a doubt. And the nature of what God has revealed to us is this. The coming of Christ could be at any hour, because while He was here upon this earth, He revealed, as Matthew 24 shows us, that the angels in heaven don't know when that day is. The Son Himself doesn't know, He said, but only the Father. We certainly don't know. And the signs that were given in that chapter were not signs of the coming of Christ, but the coming destruction of Jerusalem, which took place in AD 70. But of that day and hour, Jesus said, no one knows. You'll never know, but you can always be prepared. You can always be prepared, but preparation involves listening to what God says, taking it very seriously, and living according to what He says. We know that unless our sins are washed away, we're lost. And unless we continue to live in such a way that our sins remain continually cleansed, we're going to be lost. If your sins haven't initially been washed by the blood of Christ, that is, if you're not yet a Christian, there are things you must do to be saved. Faith is where it starts. Believing that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Turning away from a life of sin to a life of submission. I'm going to do God's will for the rest of my life. That's how I'm going to live with purpose. Confessing our faith is also essential. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Have you made the confession that Christ is the Son of God? Have you been immersed in water for the remission of sins? Baptism, from the Greek word baptizo, meaning to submerge. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ reenacted. You can rise to walk a brand new life, having been cleansed from your past sins. That can happen tonight. Or if you need to study more, we'd be happy to open the Bible with you. As a child of God, have you been persisting in the ways of righteousness? Are you a faithful child of God? Are you ready to meet the Lord in judgment as one who's been doing the will of God? Or have you drifted? Have you wandered? Do something about that this hour. Don't delay. It's His invitation. He calls you. If you'll come, we'll help you as we stand and as we sing.